Episode 463, January 27th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
F***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
please
are.
Please secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Back at you on a Monday night.
Yeah, what? 2 weeks in a row.
We did Tuesday, and now we're back to where how it all started, Monday night. Why did we decide on Monday night? How did that even begin? As
probably because there's nothing, usually there's no shows.
Yeah, oh, you've comedy-wise?
Yeah. So now at the time, when we started, I wasn't doing comedy.
Yeah, now you're not doing it either, really.
Well, no, I do. It's funny you say that because...
I mean stand-up.
If you listen to... Oki, who did the Dan Ninen documentary...
Yeah, we got to listen to that still.
I listened to it.
Okay,
He had a conversation, a phone conversation with Dan Ninen.
And on Oki's YouTube channel, he talks about it.
He talks about it. I thought he was going to play it, but he doesn't. He said he talked to him for like an hour.
That's a long
and
time.
And it's pretty fascinating, the trajectory of the call. You'll hear what he says. But one thing he said is he starts defending himself. You know,
yes.
At first, he's kind of like, I see this, I see that. And then next thing you know, he's right back to where he was saying, mm-hmm. Oh, Brad Garrett did this and this person. Right, same thing, right? So. He's just not self-aware, whatever. But he goes, yeah, he started talking about how this one comedian doesn't even get work and blah, blah, blah. Well, he's probably talking about me, right? Meanwhile, we did 30 shows for Die Laughing Productions. I can't do stand-up. I have a day job. I can't kill my... And I do the Ravens pregame, and I'm the permanent fill-in on the morning show and probably more than half of the afternoon. So, yes, I can't also...
You could get work if you
yes,
tried.
Yes, right, right.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't want to sound too defensive, mm-hmm. but yes, the reason we started doing this on Monday night was because of shows. Meanwhile, we still have to do it on Monday night because of shows. We have a lot of shows.
We do have a lot of shows. But I thinking back now, though, Tuesday's probably the better night because sometimes I'm driving back or flying back from things on Monday.
Yeah.
We do have Monday Night Football. Now, sometimes that might even involve you now with work.
Yeah, honestly, it wouldn't matter to me.
Yeah.
You know.
But it gives Robbie an extra day to get it out before the weekend. Right, Robbie?
Yeah. I try to get it out before the next show. I mean, that's really all my goal is now. And I'm fine with doing it on Tuesday nights if we need to.
Well, you had some special motivation this past week to get the show out because you... We're looking forward to Chris Restivo hearing the episode where we called the Millstream, his strip club, where he's been banned, an attempt to get him back.
We all know his reaction at this point.
Well, no. Well, we do on the show. The
right.
Audience doesn't know, unless you are on our, unless you're a Facebook.
Let me ask you this. Robbie, were you surprised at the reaction?
Not really, because that's what a reasonable person would do.
That doesn't surprise you?
It doesn't surprise you that he's reasonable.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that he was actually had the appropriate reaction.
Remember on The Office when Dwight had a concussion, he was being really nice to Pam, and Jim's like, don't you think Dwight's being really weird today? And she goes, no, he's being super nice. He goes, oh, wait a minute, he is being weird. So I think that's what we have here. Chris Restivo messaged me. He goes, I'm not mad. It's fine. That was probably one of the nicest things you both could do for me. God bless the Rob and Joe show.
We are always looking out for our fellow man.
We are. But he said he has yet to hear from them, so he's still banned. So we might have to go into phase two of this operation.
Well, if I know my Robbie like I think I do, I'm sure he reached out to Maureen, who's the manager,
yes.
Right? Robbie, what happened?
I called three times to actually get a person on the phone because I kept going into voicemails. I actually got a person. She told me that Maureen wasn't there that night, but that she would be there the following evening or later that evening when we were doing our show over the weekend. And then the next time she was going to be working was today.
So she's probably there right now. Do you want to give it another
exactly.
shot?
Exactly.
You know what? I think we should give it round two with Maureen from the Millstream.
Try to reach her. But if we get a message this time, you want to leave another message?
Yeah, I think
so. All right. Okay. All right. All right, Robbie, let's do this, I guess.
We just want to give him a chance to redeem himself. That's what America's about.
How many
right?
times do we call the Millstream that then Chris isn't happy with us?
Hey, and make sure that you tell her that she's on the air because we are live on the air. So okay. you do have okay. to say that.
Yes. Got it.
I think we've given her a full week to respond.
I got to imagine she heard that. Are you going to dial her extension again, Robbie, or are you going to try to get to an operator?
I tried that when I was trying to dial her off the air, and that really didn't work.
Perhaps she listened anybody but doesn't really know how to reach Chris.
We do.
Yeah.
By the way, he's easy to reach. He's on Facebook. I guarantee you she could get a hold of him if she needed to.
He's a very popular guy.
Millstream, may I help you?
Hey, it's Rob and Joe Show. You're live on the air. We are calling for Maureen, please.
What up?
Is this Maureen?
No, this is Mickey.
Hey, Mickey.
Hey,
how
Mickey.
You
how are you? You're live awesome. On the air, the Rob and Joe Show. Is a manager there?
This is Mickey. You
okay.
got her.
Hey, oh, we can talk to you?
Fantastic.
Hey, Mickey.
We are friends of one of your patrons.
Former patron.
Yes, Chris Restivo.
Are you familiar with Chris?
Hey, how's it going?
Short guy, usually there 3 to 4 times a week.
He wears a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Small guy.
I know who he is.
Okay.
Okay,
so
good,
you're
good,
one.
Good.
Okay, cool.
He has informed us that he's banned from your establishment, and we are wondering if there's something.
Well, hold on. Before he said it, do you know that? Do you know that he's been banned?
I'm not sure that I did.
Oh, really?
Okay.
It's the biggest thing that's ever happened to him.
Well, he's very upset
yeah,
about
he's
it.
Really upset.
Do you know?
And what radio station is this?
This is the Rob and Joe Show. We're on it's a podcast.
But we're live on the internet.
But we're
right
live
now.
On the internet right now.
You can go to robandjoeshow.com or Rob and Joe Show on Facebook.
Okay.
Are you, is
so you're
Chris,
not local, so you haven't heard of us.
We are local.
Yeah,
we're
no.
Baltimore.
I do the Ravens pregame on 98 Rock. Rob's on there all the time as well. Yeah, no, I live in Millersville, Maryland.
I live in Columbia, Maryland. I was just at the Millstream for Chris's birthday back.
Oh, you can say my establishment.
Say it. We're fans of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yes.
Say it. You
yes,
can
of course.
Say it on the air.
Millstream.
Of course,
yeah,
yes.
we're
yeah.
fans. We're pro Millstream. It's a very nice establishment. Is Chris a good customer?
Chris is a good guy, yeah. He's a great guy.
Do you have any idea why he would have been banned? You said you didn't even know about it.
Nah, I didn't know about it. I haven't been here for a few days. Well, I just had a baby, you know.
Oh,
what I'm
congratulations.
Congratulations. Are you a dancer?
No, I'm the manager.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, Mickey. Is Chris allowed back in the club?
Well, I wouldn't have been the one who said no,
okay.
so I wouldn't necessarily be the one who could say yes again. But, you know, if certain situations arise, I've seen it before, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You show respect to us, we get that respect right back.
If he shows up at your door right now, will you let him in?
I might let him in.
Awesome.
Okay, cool. That's good to know. We'll let him know that. But, by the way, we don't know what he did. You know what I mean? It could be something horrible, and we wouldn't. If it was really bad, we wouldn't.
We would not, or no.
We wouldn't ask for him to come back. So if it's something like, you know, maybe he was rude to somebody or maybe he didn't tip enough, that we can fix. You know what I mean? He can apologize to the powers that be. But, you know, I mean, if he, I don't know, there's things that could be a lot worse. I'm not going to make any suggestions. But, you know, if it ends up being something horrible, then we rescind our request. But if it's just something else, we're going to send him up there. If you could let him in, it would be greatly appreciated.
Right on, man. Well,
hey, Mickey,
thanks for calling.
Mickey, I have some questions for you. Can you tell us, are you aware of other people being banned from the club? And what offenses?
Not necessarily, no.
But what would be an offense that would get somebody banned from the club? Can you give us a for instance?
You touched a girl inappropriately.
You know,
that would
appropriate touching.
Not only do we, you know, do we follow inside the house rules, you know, well, we also follow, you know, state rules and stuff, too.
liquor license,
you know, as far as like smoking on our patio.
Uh-huh. Oh, gotcha. Understood. Yeah. That's okay. Starting to make a little bit more sense now. Yeah.
Well, Mickey, you've been very helpful, and I think this is really going to make Chris's day because he is constantly telling us the best strip club, the best place to go and hang out to have a good time is the Mill Street.
Hey, man, and the best girls in the house, the best food in the menu. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to get a burger tonight.
Who's there the hottest girl there?
I can't wait.
Who is it? Who's the best-looking dancer you have? Just in your opinion. You don't have to. It's not besmirching anybody else.
No, I've been here too long to say that. We don't play favorites.
Smart
they're
woman.
They're all special.
You have a favorite, though. I guarantee it.
I can't say that I do. I can't say who that
do you
I
think?
Do. Maybe a favorite of the hour, but never a favorite of the month.
Hey, Mickey, just from listening to me, Rob's voice, and Joe's voice, and getting to know us a little bit, who do you think is better looking?
Ooh.
That's
I'd
Rob who just
Rob.
Talked. Yeah.
Good answer,
he
Mickey.
He probably is.
Good answer. Good answer.
Rob, yeah.
You're a smart woman, Mickey. Congratulations on the baby.
Thanks.
And we look forward to hanging out with Chris Restivo and you at the Millstream.
Yeah, you got it.
See
Take
you,
care.
Mick.
Have a happy Mickey Monday.
There you go, Mickey Monday. I like it. I
All
like
right.
her.
See you guys.
See
Thanks,
ya.
Mick. All right, Robbie, you're going to need to get Chris Restivo on the phone right away.
Yeah.
Should we take a break,
yes.
or is it too early in the show?
No, let's take a break, and then and we'll come back. We're going to get Restivo on the phone and get him to the Mill Street.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. These two plan to be wed. It's too bad someone will drop dead.
We're having a wedding and you're all invited. Die Laughing Productions presents Love and Marriage and Murder. It's the bride and groom's big day. Bells will ring, the sun will shine. They'll love until the end of time. The end indeed, because this is a murder mystery. A wedding whodunit. Can you solve it and live happily ever after? Love and Marriage and Murder stars me, 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Joe and Katie Robinson, the real-life newlyweds, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions performers. But the real stars of the show are all you, the wedding crashers in the audience. We have audience roles available for willing volunteers. The rest of you could sit back, laugh, and enjoy a wedding day ruined by an untimely death and maybe help solve a whodunit.
Two shows, February 14th at McGoobie's Joke House in Timonium, Maryland. For more information, go to DieLaughingProductions.com. Tickets are available right now.
Listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
So, I mean, he clearly... He needs a ride, but he has nothing else going on that he can't go.
I swear, I will get him... I will lift him from his house... To the Mill Stream right now for
can
my
you
phone.
Do that?
Yeah,
can you?
Of course I can. Yes, I can.
All right. Because he might be banned from Lyft, too.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Hey, I'm going to tell him, don't be a dick to the
That's
Lyft driver.
That's
going to
ruin your
yeah,
score.
Yeah, yeah.
That's brave.
Maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Trying to get Chris Restivo. Very busy guy. I mean, Mickey seems like good people.
So I'm going to tell him, pick us up.
Yeah.
We just talked to the Mill Stream. Here we go.
Calling Chris Restivo. I mean, what do you think he's doing right now? Is it Morse Burgers? Bullwinkles?
He said he doesn't like Morse Burgers anymore.
He was banned from there, too.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Chris Restivo, Rob and Joe Show, you're on the air. We have breaking, exciting news for
great
you.
Great news for you, my friend.
Hi, what?
We have great news for you. Hey, do you know who Mickey is? She's a manager at the Mill Stream. She just had a baby. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I know Mickey.
Okay, she knows you as well. And we just talked to her.
Yeah.
And you can go over there right now. Do you have a ride?
No.
I'll get you a ride.
I'm watching the dog right now.
I will literally give you, I will lift from, just text me your address. I will get you a lift right now to the Mill Stream.
She literally said you
she
could walk in
told,
right now.
She,
no, I have no money.
That's not like you.
Does it cost
no
money,
money
to get
right
in?
Now.
No, but you can't just sit there and, you know.
I can Venmo you some money.
Yeah, you got a tip.
I'll Venmo you, Chris. I'll Venmo you. You don't have $20.
Not right now.
Five plated clothing. It's you know he put all the money into the business, Joe.
So if I lift,
spend all the money on ink and everything else.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let's talk. So do you, what bank do you have? Yeah. What bank do you bank at? How do you say that? Hoosier Bank.
Yeah. What do you bank
with? I'm not going to say that on the air.
You're not going to say the bank.
Wow. Okay.
You're not gonna, well, I use Bank of America. Okay. I guess you could break
Wells right Fargo. Do you have my identity now?
I don't think that's going to work, but you can try. Katie, hold on. See if, because we were having problems with that mic.
Yeah, okay.
Katie's trying to shut this down. Hold on. Let me see.
Venmo and Chris Recibo money.
Katie is not allowing you to send Chris money.
I can't. We had problems with that mic.
Okay,
it's
you're not getting Venmo.
Okay.
So, Chris, here's the deal.
You just turned my mic off.
Okay, this is what we're going
to
do.
I've never seen Katie get on you about any expense except for this, sending $20 to Chris Restivo.
Here's what I'm going to do.
You bought her a car. She was fine with it.
Let me ask you this, Chris. Do you have Bank of America?
Wells Fargo.
Okay. I think I can...
Zell him.
I can Zell you money. What you'll be in your account immediately.
Now you're sending it from our Ty Laughing production.
Yes, now you're in on it.
Yes.
I'll get you a lift. I'll lift you from your house to Mill Stream, and I'll give you $20.
But he still has to go and get that money out of an ATM or something.
That's like...
But, Chris, you have zero, Chris. And the lift's going to cost like $40. I'm sorry,
$60. I'm busy watching the dog right now.
Okay, yeah, I have a dog. You don't have to just stand there and stare at it. I'll give you a car ride. I literally got you back in. That's the thing. The window might close. Sorry,
Joe, by the time he gets there, we're going to be off there. You're going to be so regretting this.
Well, yeah, but for the purpose of this show. So,
hey, are you happy, though, that you're allowed back in?
I'm very happy. I'm shocked right now.
Katie just texted me. You're not Venmoing Chris any money.
That was super cool of you.
That just came like just now. That's new. That's after she came in.
Can you do this, Chris? Whenever you get there this week, when you're there, just take a picture of you in front of the place to let us know that you made it and that everything's good.
I'll take a picture.
Thank you, and give Mickey a hug for us. Well,
yeah, tell
but be respectful about it.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, man.
No sweat. I have a little bit of a concern.
All right.
So. She was not aware of your banning. She wasn't aware of it, although she said something at the end that alluded to the fact that she might actually be aware of it.
But she's just had a baby. She's probably has been out of work for a while now.
But do you agree that what she said at the end might have alluded to the fact? Okay. So she may know why you were banned, okay? But I don't think you were banned.
Okay.
I just think that you broke a rule, you know? You had to make amends. But what happens is I can't have you go back when Mickey's not there because the new manager might not know. So Mickey's who we talked to.
Yes.
Mickey's who said you could come back.
And we know she's there on Mondays because she called it Mickey Mondays.
Yes. And I know you like to go to the Millstream on Monday because there's really no day you don't want to be there.
Yes.
I love that place.
When are you going to have money again?
I don't know.
Don't know when you're going to have money?
First of the month.
Oh, yeah. You should have money.
Yeah, I was trying to plug the charger into my phone.
I know when I get paid. I get paid on the 15th and the 1st. That's when I get paid. 15th, 31st, 15th, whatever.
Sure.
Last day of the month and the 15th. I know when I get paid. Chris, do you know when you get paid?
Yeah, I do freelance work. I'm working for my dad and I got the fucking company right now.
When are you getting money again? That's my question. You have zero right now, right?
I sell the shirts.
Okay. We
have to buy shirts for him to get money.
Okay. What I was asking you is, when are you going to have money again?
As soon as somebody buys a shirt.
Are you saying that I have to also buy a shirt as well as drive you there and then also give you cash to be there? Chris?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So we will. Okay. All right.
Seems like a lot.
Yes, it does seem.
Never mind. It's not that important to me.
It's like, it's so staticky.
Well, the other problem is that, Chris, not only am I doing all this stuff, my wife's also going to be furious with me.
I mean, how many five-plated T-shirts can you own?
I already have like three.
Hey, Chris.
Joe, will you go with me to the mill one day?
If you're allowed in, I don't want to have a black mark on my record. You follow what I'm saying? So I got to go there when Mickey's there.
You better have enough money for two of you.
God, and I have to pay for you too?
No. Don't worry about it. I got it.
I'm worried about it.
I'm worried. You don't have a dollar right now? $1?
Somebody. Can somebody go online right now and buy a T-shirt?
I have nothing.
Buy a T-shirt from you right now where it's in your account in seconds? Because that would seem like a smart way to run a business.
You want to buy a shirt?
Can I? But is there a way for me to get the money in your account immediately?
Yeah.
How? How will we do that?
Cash App.
Okay. What's your Cash App?
Just my name.
Chris Restivo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see.
What are you sending him?
Nothing. Crazy. I gotta buy a shirt. I'm not just giving him money. All right, how do I?
I mean, when I get another one printed and shit like that.
How do I search? Okay.
Hey, what happened to all your Bitcoin?
That's a good point.
I'm not fucking with that anymore now.
So you don't have you?
I made like a grand off it, and then it tanked the next day.
But isn't a grand of Bitcoin like 0.0001 Bitcoin, something like that?
They're all in fractions. So it could be like one Bitcoin is worth 0.00 whatever.
What is one
Bitcoin? I don't know how to read all that shit.
What is one? Well, you should if you're going to actually trade the product, the commodity.
I don't do crypto stocks.
Really? Because I have like 50 texts from you telling me otherwise.
Technology and,
All right, nothing. All right, well, look, we did our part.
It kept shorting out.
All right,
hey, Chris, well, before you go, can we get a proper thank you to Robin Joe as Donald Trump, please?
I want to thank Robin Joe. They're wonderful people. I mean, now I'm back at the mill stream. It's going to be great. Wonderful. We're going to do things bigly with Robin Joe Show.
Thanks, bro.
That's awesome job. Thank you, Chris.
See you, bro.
Let's go Packers.
It's all good, man.
All right, man.
See you.
Okay. I'll see
you. Is that our biggest act of kindness that we will have for the entire year of 2020?
Well, I don't know, man. I just have a bad taste in my mouth about it.
Really? That he has no that we were inviting someone. We got somebody back into the strip club that has no money. He doesn't seem like a guy that should be going to strip clubs.
I mean, he was pulling every excuse that he could. Mm-hmm. Hey, yes. He's like, I don't have any money. I'm watching the dog. You know what I mean? I wanted him to say thank you, send me there. He goes in, Mickey, hey, sorry I did whatever it was that I did. He goes in, he looks at all the girls. You know, we should ask Chris what the best looking.
Yeah, he would say he banged her. In his defense, though, not having a way to get there or money is a pretty good reason not to go.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if he's banned or not. He can't go.
Right.
Don't you have to pay to get in?
It's like you're banning me from Mars. Okay, well, I can't get there.
Is there a cost? Let me look it up. Is there a cost to get
in? No, we went for his birthday party.
You just walk in?
We just walk right in.
Huh.
I thought maybe I just snuck in, and then I realized, no, they don't care about that shit.
No cover.
Yeah. Huh.
I think he's going to a place with a cover.
Are the drinks like $10 a piece?
Yeah. I said that to him. I said, this is a pretty expensive place just to drink. You know, like, it seems like this is not where I would hang out if I'm just getting drunk.
Right.
You go to your bar down the street.
Man, Larry's Tavern, yeah. Yeah, you could have six drinks for what you pay for one drink at the Mill Stream.
Or that dive bar we went to the other night after a murder mystery, the Vienna Inn.
I love that place. What do you think Chris drinks?
I know he drinks like a bottle of beer, some sort of Bud Light or something like that.
What's that, like $7?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, he implied it was like $10 a drink.
Well, we were drinking Tito's and soda. I'm pretty sure they were $12, $13.
Yeah.
Maybe $14. So
you gotta have it's not just it's no money. You gotta have $100 to go in there just to have a couple of drinks.
Yeah. It's not someplace you go. It's an expensive hobby.
Yeah, and there's girls there. You want to give them some money when they show you their tits, right?
Yeah, I mean, and they walk right up to you. Now, I guess if they know him well enough, they know just not even bother. So
Matt Colby said, at the Mill Stream, you can get a large chicken noodle soup for $10.
What would be the last thing you would order to eat at the Mill Street?
I wouldn't order food, although
okay.
Two people have said clam chowder. Incredible. Two people.
Okay. So what?
Chris Restivo and Mickey, the manager. She said they have great food.
So what would you'd order a steak before you'd order like salmon, right?
I swear I wouldn't. Okay, I wouldn't order anything. If I did, it wouldn't matter. I mean, I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to derail the bit, but I really, if you're going to.
Sushi?
Calamari.
What would you rather get? Chicken tenders or sushi?
Clearly chicken tenders.
Okay.
I would rather get something fried.
They're all free, though. It's just there's no price, so you fry. You're going to go
chicken
fry.
Chicken tenders.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, is there anything that came sealed?
Right? That's just a Lunchable?
Yes, can I have a Lunchable? No, I'm sure. Listen, he said the food is good. You guys said the girls are hot. You called it a dive strip club, though.
But I say that with reverence. I don't think that's bad. I like a dive bar. I don't want it to be, like, violent or dirty necessarily. But it's got a little bit of a Yeah, where the locals hang out here. Vibe.
Matt Colby's looking at the menu as we speak. He said, crab ball deviled eggs. By the way, outside of a strip club, those sound delicious.
What if for Katie's birthday, you blindfold her, you take her in, you sit down, you have a candlelight dinner, and it's the Millstream. What? Does she leave right away? Does she?
I don't know. Katie's
she's
cool,
starving.
Actually. I don't. Well, to eat.
Yeah.
Oh no, she would not be happy with that. Yeah. I wish I could have her in here, but we got that mic issue.
Tawanda would not. That would not fly.
No way. She wouldn't. Yeah.
Not
she
the hang. Going to the strip club is fine.
She wouldn't care
she's
about
not
going
eating.
Yeah. I was gonna say. I just thought you said if we showed up there, she'd enjoy that. She would just for the story
right.
or whatever. But she would definitely not want to eat there. She want to eat ahead of time.
How much money for the rest of your life, whenever you go out to eat, it has to be at a strip club?
How much money to do that?
Yes.
Am I paying for my food at the strip club?
No.
I get to eat for free?
But if you bring someone, they're responsible. Or you can pay for them, but they don't get to eat free.
So every day...
Every time you go out to eat, you can eat at home all you want.
Because the Millstream isn't that far from my work.
Right.
I can just cruise over there, eat, and all my meals will be free.
So you're looking at that. Yeah, but then you can't, like, we all want to go out to eat. You can't go.
I can go. I just can't eat, or I can't. I'm not even allowed
to. No, you
can
go. You just can't eat.
I can only do the Millstream. Or strip clubs. They can't you out to eat. I'll be like, oh, Scores is near there. Yeah, that would be, actually, that would be.
Like, at your wedding, like, you couldn't have had a meal.
Yeah. They'd be like, why aren't you eating? I'm only allowed to eat at strip clubs.
You're already married. This. You don't have to worry about that.
I don't know how you even enforce that. But I would, that seems a lot harder, just because they're always, sometimes you're nowhere near a strip club, I can't eat.
Well, you don't
eat.
Have to go out to eat, you can eat at home.
Oh, I'm allowed to eat at home?
Yes, I'm just saying, if...
I really, really enjoy going
I
out
know,
to eat.
I know, so you're giving that.
It'd be a lot, now. Honestly, now the more you talk about it, it would be well into the six figures, probably higher than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be alive, I assume, another, 35 years, right? Yeah, okay. $1 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Even then, it's my life would be tough.
Yeah, because that is one of your.
I would need enough money to be able to not have to work again.
And you could also have like hire a private chef, so you can get like cool meals at home and stuff.
Yeah, am I allowed to eat at my desk at work?
Yes.
Oh, I can do that too. Yeah, still $1 million then.
Okay, all right. I'll see what I can do.
I say, hey, you want to eat? Go, yeah, but I'm on a strict diet. I'll come hang. But am I allowed to drink at other restaurants?
Yes.
Then, yeah, I was going, hey, I'll just have something to drink.
Okay.
Then I'll order food and I can't eat it. I'm not allowed to eat this salad.
So I guess when do we talk about the serious news of the week? I guess we have to, right?
Oh, about Kobe?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, look, it's a 10 out of 10 tragedy, obviously. His daughter, the other people.
Oh, yeah.
So it's...
Take everything into consideration. Mm-hmm. The way that it happened, so horrifically, right?
Yeah.
The other people involved, small children.
Yeah.
His superstardom, him being cut down, with 40 years left in his life.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of the last one that was even near it. Was it Michael Jackson?
Prince, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston.
Yeah, but those, for some reason, those don't feel as big to me. Now, Prince was huge to you because that's your 1A, but they didn't feel as big, and maybe it's because Katie was bringing up a good point. An athlete seems almost like a superhero, right?
Yeah.
They can do things that are above human, if that makes sense.
And musicians are known for having a party lifestyle.
Yeah.
But I do think it's the daughter aspect now that that's with it. Because when we first heard, that wasn't known. This is my understanding. How does TMZ get this information? Like, I'm guessing, like, whoever's in charge at wherever they took off from that knows that maybe they got a picture with Kobe when they took off, and then they hear that it crashed. Does that person then call TMZ? Do they say, hey, if you pay me money, I know there's a celebrity that died on this.
They don't know what it's worth until you
exactly.
tell them. Yeah, I mean,
right.
I don't understand.
Is there a negotiation? That seems like a weird thing.
But they're always first.
They're always first.
And by the way, what does being first do for you?
I don't know, but if I hear a celebrity death, I trust TMZ before anybody else.
But my question is, TMZ gets it out before everybody. How do you monetize that? Fox, CNN, MSNBC, Yahoo, they're all going to have it within the next 10 minutes.
You monetize it because everybody knows TMZ is the place to go for breaking things. Yeah. So more people go to the site, more people follow, more ads, more everything. It's just everyone knows TMZ. There's a value in everybody knowing who you are.
How did that tabloid become the number one most reliable source for celebrity deaths?
I don't know. But Robbie, do you know how this happens? When somebody calls with this information, what is in it for that person?
They just love to be a troll. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, I hear what you're saying. They do. They do get. They are very invasive. But this really isn't.
But I mean, the person who's telling
feel like
TMZ,
a troll. Yeah.
What's their motive?
I mean, were they following Kobe around? They can't follow around everybody. You know what I mean?
No, of course not.
And Kobe, honestly, does he seem like a guy like, oh, we got to get juice on this guy? No, he's not a Kardashian. He's not a. His playing career is over. He's just running his kids around from school to school. It doesn't seem like there's anything really of interest. And clearly, you couldn't staff to watch everybody with the celebrity size of Kobe Bryant.
No, it was somebody that was either there when they took off, somebody in the air traffic control or whatever, that knew he was on that helicopter. Because the family hadn't been notified. TMZ was literally the first outlet. The first time anybody was told, anybody in public or private, was TMZ on Twitter.
Yeah.
And on their website, which doesn't seem right. But I don't know how it happens.
Real quick, Matt Colby said Princess Diana.
Yes, that was huge.
So she was she basically the same age? She was in her 40s, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
And he brought up a good point. That song that had been released 30 years ago, they re-released it, it becomes a number one song.
She's on the Mount Rushmore of clearly of my lifetime of where I know where I was when I heard they died.
So let me think of the deaths that made me say, oh my gosh. Len Bias was a big one. I remember exactly where I was. And obviously that's not going to be the same for the world. He wasn't number two overall draft pick. He was going to the Celtics. I mean,
it had a bigger influence here because he went to Maryland.
But it also changed kind of the way the drugs were viewed.
Yes.
You know, and I was in Hawaii when that happened.
I was at basketball camp at George Mason.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if people cared there.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty big one. I'm trying to think of other people that got cut. Because Sean Taylor's a big one. Again, that's local.
Yep.
I strongly feel like by the, what was he, 25 years old when he
got? Maybe even 24, yeah.
Yeah, 24, 25. And so he wasn't even cut down in his prime. Who knew what he was going to be?
Yeah.
You know, and people were talking about him being, I don't know if he could have even played in today's NFL as hard as he hit, but who knows, right? But he was long and he was fast and he could. I'm not going to sit there and do a whole. They'll get mad if we talk too much about sports.
Right, but if you had to say.
Cut down in his prime, yes. And he was murdered. So, it was a giant deal. But this does seem bigger, which is strange because it really. Unrealized potential is almost what. Not that Kobe wouldn't have done anything, but the biggest chapter of his life had been written.
The most public chapter, the most obvious.
Yeah, and who, I don't know what the measure of a man is, but if you talk about what your worth is to society, what you do in the NBA is probably going to be different than what basketball, maybe not the effect on some individual's life, but overall what he did, that's the biggest accomplishment that he'll have.
Yes.
What he achieved publicly. I mean, I'm not going
to. Yeah, not in actuality, what he could have accomplished, who knows. But I mean, in terms of, he's a top player of all time, it's harder than be a top something else of all time in something else.
Yeah.
So no matter what he did.
And there's only a few who've ever, you know, maybe go on to be a great coach, who knows, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is the other aspect, is that because he had this, you know, this thing in Colorado with cheating on his wife, and there was a rape allegation and sexual assault and all that, that all of these, not all of these people, but there has been a lot of people posting since this happened, well, don't forget about this. And all I posted was, I was lucky enough to be at his last game in D.C. versus the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
He went for 31, legend, hashtag Kobe. And I remember that game because, you know, I'm a Wizards fan, and my buddy had gotten, for his birthday, his wife had given him a suite. So it was just me and him.
Oh, hell yeah.
But we were
in a suite?
Yes, but everyone in the suite was Lakers fans. And they were real obnoxious, the Lakers.
Yeah.
But he had a great game. And I remember watching it being, because I'm getting mad at these Lakers fans.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also remember saying, Kobe's fucking balling. And this may never, literally may never happen again.
Right. It was the very end of his career.
Exactly. Yeah. And he only probably only had two or three games after that that were better.
Right.
So I did realize, you know, I'm actually pretty lucky that we're seeing this. So all I do is post that. And it gets just likes and nothing crazy. But then today, somebody who I don't even know, who I saw had sent me a friend request that was pending for who knows how long, says, would you have honored him while watching him be a rapist?
And, did you say no?
Yeah, and why not?
I would not have.
Why don't you honor the victim instead of deifying? And I'm like, so I go back and forth. Should I say something? You know, from just saying, you know, to being over the top, yes, I would actually honor him raping.
Yeah.
To like saying, you know what, you're raping my post right now. But then I'm like, the person had initials, so I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman. And
right.
That changes how
next
I speak
thing
to
you
somebody.
Know, yeah,
I
gotcha.
Right? So I decided I just deleted it, because what's the point?
Yeah.
But it's just like the arrogance of that person to tell me, first of all, what I can think and what I should post. And by the way, if you feel like he did something wrong, well, he's dead now. Did you want more justice? Because if he went to prison for rape, you know, he would get out, and his daughter would be alive.
Yeah,
so this is actually a thousand times worse.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
But I don't know. What is the point of that person saying?
I guess my question is this. Is that, were you so bothered by whatever happened that you've been, this has been your cause? If I pour through your Twitter, well, I see you say, I can't believe that this happened, blah, blah, blah. So really, you're taking this opportunity really not to make it about that victim. You're trying to make it about yourself. Look at how I am. I understand where justice is really found, and it's found in this place or that place. I'll just say this.
And real quick, how many people have posted things about Kobe Bryant since then that they could have made that same point?
Oh, yes, of course. Yes.
When he retired, when he had a great game, when anything happened, they could have said that.
So there's two things. First of all, honestly, if you really are so bothered by what potentially could have happened, and by the way,
we don't know what happened.
Well, I'll say this. That's the same thing I said to Katie. I really don't know enough to comment on it other than this. Kobe said, which...
Do we want to go down this road?
Just hear me out.
But I know what you're going to say.
Kobe says, hey, I can see why she might have felt like that wasn't consensual.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm not making him into a hero. I will say that what every single publicist in the world says, because this has happened a zillion times, is say you never, ever, 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 ever give an inch on this. Because if you do, that says something about you might not recover from. He was really the only person out of Tyson and Weinstein, and we could just go on, who said, you know what? I can see where that line was gray.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I always say, you know, we like to redeem people in the society. Maybe that's something that you say, I can't really redeem you for. But I will say there's enough gray in there for me to say, all right, I'm going to choose to just not participate in whatever that discussion is, because I don't know enough.
Of course, yes.
By the way, you know who else doesn't know enough?
This guy posting.
Or girl,
They don't know.
They don't know. They know as much as we do, which is nothing.
Yes.
So what I'll do is say, all right, well, I'm going to give him a mulligan. But since then and before then, I have nothing else.
And what I said, he's regardless... Look, you could think the worst things that are said about Michael Jackson are true. Doesn't change the fact that he's a legendary musician. And if you saw him in concert and you bought this album, it could have changed your life for the better. Same with Cosby. Those things are still real. They still exist.
Yes,
and
I
that can still
remember
be important to you.
Laughing at Bill Cosby albums when I was a little kid. Does it mean something different now? Yeah, it does. It does. It does mean something different now. But I get to have that based on the information that I have.
Right.
You get to have whatever you have based on the information that you have right now is this, is that somebody accused him and then they rescinded that accusation. And I guess there was a settlement of some kind and you get to determine what that means. And if what you think that means is that that's somebody that you want to applaud their death. Okay. Whatever. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't understand.
I'm also not one of those people that gets offended on behalf of other people. I don't. So if you want to make a joke, you see a lot of that now. Comedians crawl the woodwork right now to make their Kobe Bryant jokes.
Yeah.
Because I'm so irreverent. Here's where I am. Well, this is not new.
No.
You see it every single time. And I'm almost just like, what that tells me is instinctually, you don't have a good gauge on what's funny. Now, I'm sure I've seen hilarious comics. Nick Mullen comes to mind. There's a couple others that I've seen that have made jokes that were off color that I know are extremely funny.
Right.
I just happen to not agree that that's a right tact at this time. But by the way, if you want to do it, it's not like I'm not mad. I'm not going to tell you not to do it, but I'm not going to laugh. It's not going to be funny to me.
I'm not going to tell you what to joke about. That's
no,
up to you.
Never do that.
But it is like you got to know your audience, and it better be damn funny and clever. And it's not 99.9%.
I haven't seen anything that I said, wow, that's really.
The only person that made a good joke about those people making those jokes, or maybe there's more, but John Conroy said, everyone making a joke about Kobe in passing has never been passed at a good club. So, I just find it boring that you have to be that guy. Oh, no, I'm controversial. I tell it like it is and say what people are afraid to say.
Well, like I said, there are people that I have respect for that are doing it.
Yes. Well,
that's
you better
thing.
Be damn good at it.
And I just am like, okay, but by the way, I don't have to agree with every single thing that you do.
Yeah, I could just say that was stupid.
I say, I'm not a fan of it.
Rude. Nice.
Who was that?
That was Rob.
Yeah, it sounded like me. I don't know what I was saying, but I'll take it. Take a break. Be right back. Rob and Joshua.
Hi, this is radio personality and morning show host Justin Schlegel back to tell you about the newest interactive, hilarious whodunit from Die Laughing Productions, Hit Me 90s One More Time. In this show, I really get to stretch my acting chops. I play a radio personality. This time, we're taking you back to the 1990s. You're at a radio station promotional event where listeners battle it out for the hottest concert tickets of the year, Ace of Base. Everything goes smoothly and no one dies. Not, actually, some unlucky person will not just be losing their religion, but meeting their fate. And top market DJ Slater in the Morning, that's me, must solve the murder. Hit Me 90s One More Time also stars two princes, Mr. Jones, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions comedians, and most importantly, you, the audience. Come celebrate the 90s with us, for all we really want to do is have some fun, jump around, and help you get through this semi-charm kind of life. Don't miss Hit Me 90s One More Time. Eat, drink, laugh, solve a murder.
Next performance, April 11th at the Bright Box Theater, Winchester. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So I was going to say, before Robbie pissed me off at the beginning of the show.
Oh, boy.
I've been particularly, I don't think I'm irritable, but I've had people now, I got into an argument with you on Saturday.
You did?
Yeah, I'll tell you about it in a second. Oh. Gary got upset with me. Our friend Gary got upset with me. I had to apologize to him out of our chat. I had to apologize to him.
Okay.
By the way, the argument was about...
It was stupid.
The criteria with which makes a death more tragic.
Right.
And he got so upset with the way that I was talking to him, he says, I'll just step out of this. So I said, hey, dude, I'm sorry. You know, I don't mean to talk to you that way. Because he thought he was being singled out. Well, here's what happened. If you don't remember, that's good. But...
I remember. I didn't know that you were counting that as an argument.
Well, the guy who is running...
We're at the Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia.
He's
sellout.
He's the manager. Okay, we have a sellout. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. The death...
They don't even know what the death is. They just know that there's a prop.
There's a prop. It's a six-pack of Zima.
Actual six-pack of Zima.
It's an actual six-pack of Zima. Five are unopened. One is open, and it is integral in terms of the moving this plot along.
And the open one has no alcohol in it.
It's integral, okay? Now, meanwhile, if I thought through it more, we could have just replaced those bottles with anything else and still done it. Or use the empty Zima, put five Coors Light in it. But the guy goes, hey, you can't bring outside alcohol in here. Now, that made me... What I thought was ridiculous is that he thought we were trying to smuggle Zima into the club. Okay. That's what that made me laugh, right? Like, haha, that's funny, which is what eventually I would come to say to Rob. But before I came to Rob and said that, which the part that I thought was funny, I'm like, no, actually, you can. As part of a performance, you're even allowed to smoke on stage. There are different rules that apply to entertainment, blah, blah, blah. The guy goes, well, I'll have to check that. I go, we'll do that, but because we need to have this in order to move the plot along, this, that, and the other. That was the end of it. Well, then when I went back to Rob to explain that I thought that was funny, this guy thought I was smuggling in Zima, which was... You thought I was coming back to bitch about that guy, and you started defending him. Okay, so now I'm annoyed that you're defending this guy, and then Katie...
I knew that annoyed you.
Then Katie starts saying, defending you, that I... So I'm annoyed, right? Because they're both my best friend and my wife are now ganging up on me, and I just came in there to try to be funny.
Right.
Now I'm annoyed. So that was, but that was probably me. Both of you guys were, you know what I mean? That was probably me.
I think it's funny, but I just, it didn't seem crazy to me that he would just throw it out there.
Right, but remember, I came in to say, ha, 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 this guy thinks we're going to drink Zima.
Right.
Next thing you know, I'm now defending myself, which is, it was almost like I wasn't rich, just like I'm not going to get into that, but like when I'm not ready for something and I think I'm going to have fun and instead I'm getting slapped in the face, even if it's justified, then I start getting annoyed. So,
well, you seemed annoyed right off the bat.
But I really
him.
Wasn't. Oh, yeah. Well, I was annoyed at, well, I shouldn't say this. I was already annoyed.
See, I think that's where we're getting.
I was already annoyed because Robbie doesn't know this. Robbie asked about the drink tickets. And the girl and the manager goes, because
they give you drink tickets there.
They go, God, they're already asking about the drink tickets. So they start shitting on us, right?
Oh, I didn't ask about the drink tickets. I just wanted food.
Whatever. I'm just telling you what the girl says, right?
By the way, at the end of the night, everybody loved everybody
course,
and
yes,
each other.
Yes.
The staff included.
Yes.
And they're already at, we already have a date back.
Yeah, we already have another date. So then I'm already kind of, now this guy comes to tell me, like, we can't have Zima in there. Like, we're going to be out there fucking pounding Zimas. So, yes, that bugged me. But then I came to you and go, God, that, I got to remember to talk about that on the Rob and Joe show. If it wasn't an argument,
yes,
I would have said, listen to this. What do you think? Because Robbie didn't know that had happened. This guy thought we were bringing Zimas in to drink. But anyway, then it became something else. So far, I in that short window, I had pissed off you, my wife, Gary, and Robbie.
Off.
Yeah. So
I have a theory, Joe. It's you're spending too much time on Twitter, and you're getting into Twitter beefs, and then that's spilling into like text arguments and these things.
Well,
because Twitter is a frustrating.
Yeah,
wall
I don't think
media.
That's it, but I don't know. I think I'm self-aware. The only person I really argue with on Twitter is JL Covan, probably 90% of the time.
Yeah, but you got into a lot of Raven stuff over the.
I probably
season.
Did. And the other thing is the conversation I'm having with, and I don't get too far, with my friend, and what this is about me, is that when we're talking about how to measure the value or the, I'm sorry, the shock or the whatever value.
We
is
were
right
debating
word.
How shocking this is versus other potential
other people,
people
right.
that could die.
So all I'm doing
athletes.
Is making points about that. And then if you take it personally, I start looking, okay, where did I make it personal? You know, where did I thought we were literally talking
right.
about. If you say, hey, that's apples and oranges, I wasn't insulted by that, but essentially that means you're not making sense in your argument. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that was said to me. I swear it never occurred to me that I was personally insulted, but I responded.
We're also reading it in your voice. Which
like
can,
the way that I'm right
yes.
now? That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And now I got to calm down.
Yeah.
Because when I listened back to last week's show, I'm going to go away from the mic because I was screaming the whole time, just like I am right now.
Yeah.
When did I start screaming?
I don't know. Robbie, do you have a theory on this, this Joe? Is he a little more short-fused, bitter, angry?
I haven't noticed a difference in his temperament at all.
Other than 47 minutes ago.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're stuff being married. Probably
but I,
taking
but
a toll.
I really don't feel like I'm irritable.
Right.
Now, when the show's, I'm serious, right? I'm more serious because I have to get everything together. But once I have everything together, I'm like, okay, cool. And by the way, I go out and try to watch the show. I enjoy seeing it.
Are you relying on other things to give you, to make you feel better? And when
what do you mean?
Ingesting things. And when you're not having done that, you are... Your normal state?
No, I don't think that. Are you talking about
like if
let's say for example I smoked marijuana? Is that what you're saying?
For example,
no, I don't think that plays in.
Okay, because I know you and Katie were really in a really good mood Friday night at the
let's
Crofton
talk about that
Country
real quick.
Club.
So I was very let's say drunk.
Yes,
I'll say drunk,
high on life,
very drunk at the Crofton Country Club.
We had a comedy show, myself, yes. Eric Woodworth, and Tommy Simbazo. You and Katie and Justin were clearly more than welcome to come by and hang out, but you were not needed in terms of
no, but we did. We had a blast.
I had a blast. I love just, I could just MC and then I can.
It was the place where they have the great coffee.
Yes.
And we were in there and we forced Eric to sing the song that he said he wasn't going to sing.
I mean, I had a 10 out of 10 fun one.
Yeah. It was so much fun. Yeah. But anyway. At the end, very end of the show, Rob says, hey, let me bring up Joe. I know he's fucking with me.
Yes.
But I'm like, I can't. I'm going to act like it's nothing. I'm going to come up. But I realize I'm really not in my best I'm not in a place, even if, by the way, even if I was completely so stone cold sober, that I wouldn't, there's no way for me to succeed. But I knew what
that
you
was
were doing.
The point, yes.
But I'm like, I'm just going to go up there, say three things, and roll out. And of course, it was weird. It was awkward.
No, I think it worked.
So I went in there, and then of course, Rob said I only called him up there because I knew how drunk he was. And
yes.
Then,
it was Justin's idea, too.
Yeah, yeah. But I knew, by the way, I didn't know that that was happening.
Right.
But when it was happening, I knew what was happening.
Yes.
So I'm like, I'm going to go up there and do
but
something.
What did you said you shout out to Crofton, to some local team or something?
Go Cardinals. Yeah, yeah, I said, go Cardinals. That, I said, thanks for supporting. That's the middle school.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the middle school mascot. There is no high school. And I go, thanks for supporting. Give it up for Rob Mayer because he hadn't been introduced. And
they knew who you were. When I introduced you, it made sense.
No, it didn't.
No, it did. Because I said, it's Die Laughing Productions. We do the murder mystery. We do the comedy shows. I want to bring out my partner. You've been a great crowd.
I'll bet I wasn't up there for 10 seconds.
But I don't think they thought it was weird.
No?
Which was unfortunate because I wanted that.
Oh, I knew what you were doing. Right. But I'm like, if I say this, this, and this, that might just be enough for me to not look ridiculous.
You pulled it off.
Yeah, good.
Can we talk about Tommy Cimbazzo?
Sure.
He crushed. By the way, Eric, it was a really good show. And which sometimes in a, oftentimes in a non-comedy club atmosphere, country club, whatever.
Yeah.
It can be a little hit or miss. And he's 3 minutes into a set, and he starts talking to this woman in the front row who's had 10 kids. I think that had
come
out.
Was that real? I thought that was a joke,
no.
But it seemed like that was a
no,
real
that
thing.
That came from her. And he said, I bet your pussy looks like a bus terminal, I believe is what he said. And then he says, you don't use tampons. You use a roll of Brawny. And so that's something usually you have to
work up to.
You have to. Yeah, they have to already like you by then. So
yeah,
that's usually if you they love you, you can
you're
do
right.
No wrong at that point. But he came out of swinging with that.
And it's a country
and it worked,
club crowd, right?
Yeah.
I think Eric, with the song that he did before he left.
Yeah,
I
well, he loosened them up pretty well.
Yeah, he loosened them up. Let me say this. Tommy probably doesn't even listen to the show. So he has become a fucking exceptional comedian. I mean, exceptional. Like, I'm sad for him that he's here in fucking, I'm glad for me.
Right.
And Die Laughing Productions, right? But, you know, I mean, he also has a look where he's kind of more like an alt comic. Which is what people want, but he's way funnier than what you would normally see come out of that group.
Yes.
So,
and he's really good at like local stuff, too.
Yes. Well, like, I also think that he would crush wherever he went.
No, I agree. But like, there's no reason for him to be on a show if he's not headlining.
No, yeah, you don't want to follow him. Right. Even Justin, who's really good himself, you know, you feel like you've already seen the headliner if you see him.
Right.
By the way,
Justin, I think maybe he just took this a page from me and that, they're doing some show together, and Justin is emceeing, and then I think it's Eric,
right.
And then it's Tommy.
Well, I'm sure Tommy wouldn't want to follow Justin either.
Right, exactly.
But regardless, they're both tough follows, but Tommy, yeah, I mean, he just happened to be, you did the right thing. I wouldn't want to follow Tommy.
No, and also, why are we, he should be headlining, he should be doing 45 minutes.
Well, of course, yeah. How long was he up there? It felt like
he
nothing.
Did 50.
Yeah, and he was excellent, yeah. No, hey, by the way, I don't want to besmirch the good name of Eric Woodward.
Also crushed it.
Who also killed it. But, yeah, he just seemed like a next-level guy who's ready to, you know, although he's old as fuck, too, right? He's like 43 years old, right?
Tommy?
Yeah.
I think he's 42 now.
Is he?
Yeah. Old as fuck.
Well, I mean, for it's
yeah.
They want you a lot younger than that.
Yeah. I am going to be in Virginia Beach this weekend, back with David Koechner.
Yeah, are you going?
I leave Wednesday. I'll be back Sunday for the Super Bowl, which is also
he's excited
Tawanda's,
about the Super Bowl because
birthday. Yes, Dave is he really has one diehard fandom in sports, and that's the
Kansas
Chiefs.
City Chiefs.
Like when the Royals won the World Series, he's like friends with like Paul Rudd, and he's a huge Royals fan.
Yeah,
he's,
I didn't
like,
know
tried
that.
To get into it. He actually, I think he said Larry King said to him once, I guess he was being interviewed, because Larry King is a huge baseball fan. He goes, do you like baseball? He goes, and Dave's like, no, not really. And Larry's like, man, I'm sorry. And it just felt like it hurt Larry King that he didn't love baseball. But he's a huge Chiefs fan. He's actually he's going to the game, and he got a ticket for him and his brother, who's a season ticket holder. So his brother's going to come to VA Beach Saturday. We're going to go out to eat.
Oh, that's cool.
And then Sunday.
Is his brother older or younger?
I believe his brother is just turning 60. So he's, I think he's a couple, 3 years older. And I think it is his birthday, too. It's close.
Hell yeah.
And so he, for his birthday, and just, you know, they're going to, they're leaving from VA Beach to Miami.
Now, where does a David Koechner sit?
Well, he said that the team, now he went to the AFC title game. He did a something for like the Chamber of Commerce, or like he went Saturday night and talked, and then they gave him a ticket. But he said that the Chiefs are making two tickets at face value available to him. But he's not expecting that they're going to be great.
So he might be in the upper deck.
Yeah, but at $3,000 a piece.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you're sitting in the nosebleeds?
It's pretty awesome.
And sitting next to you is David Koechner.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So I'll be rooting for the Chiefs. I mean, I've always liked the Chiefs anyway.
They haven't won a Super Bowl in 50 years.
Haven't, and I felt like a lot of those teams that came close, I like. So not that I've ever rooted for them, per se, but I've always liked them.
They're also my preseason, when we pick, that's my pick.
Yeah.
And I would have definitely changed if I could at the beginning of the playoffs. But
well, you, me, Katie, and Rob all picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
To win it,
we're geniuses. None of us made a bet on MyBookie.
So, Robbie, who was your other team?
I can look it up here.
I know yours was the Eagles. Joe.
Mine was the Eagles.
Mine was the Cowboys, so they didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, mine did, but I think they were 9-7, so I'm not proud of it.
Yeah, I mean, once they got the playoffs, you weren't thinking they were
going to win. Oh, I definitely thought the Eagles were going to win it all.
I have it here. Yeah, Rob picked the Chiefs over the Cowboys. Joe picked the Chiefs over the Eagles. Katie picked the Chiefs over the Saints, and I also picked the Chiefs over the Saints.
So I would say that you and Katie had the best teams.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to go, Robbie, just like your bachelor picks.
Well done. So anyway, that's the show, guys.
I'll be on 98 Rock
nice.
This Thursday. I'll be on there a lot in February. I have I either have 6 or 4 dates. Listen to this. So program director asked me if I could do February 24th. By the way, Monday I can't do it. I can't do Monday, February 24th. I can't do the Robin Joe show. Anyway, so he said, will you do the 24th through 25th and 26th? I said, yes.
This is morning or afternoon?
Afternoon.
Right.
So I go, yeah, I put it in my calendar, and then I see I already have Thursday and Friday on there too. So that means every day of the week. So I got to double check to see if that's right. But
so no show February 24th.
Is it no show, or we're just going to move it?
I can't do a show that night either, so we can just skip that week. I just want to point out that is the anniversary of Eric the Actor, a.k.a. Mike Klein's death.
Oh, I feel like we should do something.
Honor him on that day.
Yeah. Well, we just saw Andy Klein.
Let me say this.
Yeah, I talked to him about that.
So just so you'll know, I still could do the show. Robbie can't now, but the afternoon drive show, Robbie, is now 2 to 7. Do you know that?
Are they pre-recording 6 to 7?
Just 6:30 to 7. So I can be here by, but I got you, Robbie. Can we just record it?
Well, let's do it on a Tuesday.
Jim Amato says, remember, Robbie has to go bed early on Tuesdays. You do?
No.
It's after celebrating the Bachelorette, whatever happened.
But it's the same deal on Tuesday night. You're doing afternoon?
Yeah, afternoon on Tuesday.
Yeah, my conflict's on Monday. Let's do it on Tuesday.
Okay.
All right.
Tuesday the 25th.
Oh, shout out to my buddy Chad Heft, who came to visit for the weekend. He came to the murder mystery. He goes, you know, I need to meet Eric Woodworth. And they sat together afterwards.
They did.
They bonded.
Seemed like they had a great time.
They say never meet your idols, but in this case, meet them.
It worked.
A couple things worth noting. It was Benchwarmer who said in chat that we had the most successful Mickey ever on the Robin Joe show tonight. I thought that was a good line. And also, you know, when you own a dog, Rob, it's supposed to lower your blood pressure.
You're speaking about Joe?
I don't think my blood pressure is high. As a matter of fact, I know it isn't.
Mm.
You know how I know? I forgot to tell this story, and then we'll be done.
Seems like a cliffhanger.
I had an ear infection, so...
Sorry to hear that.
I just been waiting. My ear's been hurting, but I'm just... I don't know why I thought it would go away.
So 51... What are you, 51 now?
Yeah.
51-year-old Joe is the same as 21-year-old Joe when it comes to physical ailments.
Exactly. So, anyway, it didn't go away. So, I go to patient first. I go in. They look at my ear. They go, you don't have an ear infection. It's some piece of wax the size of a fucking Skittle in there, right?
Oh.
You don't Q-tip?
Where it was, you couldn't Q-tip. It was behind the hammer or whatever.
How do they
there?
Get that?
Yeah, I had the exact same thing. The guy sucked it out with a vacuum.
He didn't suck it out. Here's what she did. So she has this bottle, and basically it's like douche. You can't just put water in your ear and give you an infection. It's got to have, you know,
chemicals.
Whatever, right, to make the pH correct.
Fluoride.
So she squeezes a whole bottle in my ear. Didn't work. Had to get a second bottle.
Two bottles in.
She's now a second bottle in, and this thing pops out of my fucking ear, and now I can hear everything that there is to hear. But they did. I took my blood pressure. It's perfect.
All right. Maybe that's why Gramps doesn't hear well.
Yes, she got a patient first. And the other thing is, the person that got it out of my ear, it was like a cute nurse. You know, and you're just at your grossest.
You don't want that.
We just want to, you know, show your best foot forward, right?
Would you rather have a cute nurse or just a disgusting guy?
I would rather have a disgusting guy getting this fucking thing out of my ear.
I don't know. You want somebody that looks like they take care of themselves.
No, I want somebody who... I don't care what they think when this fucking thing comes rolling out of my head.
Yep, I'm sure she's doesn't give a shit at all about that.
Dude, when I looked at what came out of my ear, there's something a little satisfying about that.
Yeah.
Although I don't like watching the Dr. Pimple Popper, but people do like watching it. Yeah. But people like it.
Yeah.
And there's got to be some satisfaction. It's not like, you know, every once in a while you see somebody put like an insect. Fuck that. I'm not, that doesn't work for me.
This is Star Trek, Wrath of Khan.
But when this thing, this, you know, peach pit came rolling out of my ear, when I saw it in there, there was something pretty satisfying about it.
Did you save it? Did you get a picture?
I wanted it disposed of.
That's too bad.
But, I mean, it was the size of an olive pit. Yeah, it was huge.
All right. Good talk. We will be back next week. Rob and Joe Show. Thank you, guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.